Welcome to episode 16 of Hit the Mic with Stacey Harris. Hello, it is the Stacey Harris, your host here at Hit the Mic with Stacey Harris. And today on the show, we have the amazing Sandy Sadoo. She is one of the brains behind Thrive Hive. You guys probably remember on episode 2, we had Jules Taggart, her partner in crime. And so we'll talk a little bit about the Hive, and we'll also talk a little bit about some business stuff. She's also a podcaster. You guys can check her show out at the Business Ignite Show. I've been on her show. It's great. I love her show. I'll actually link in the show notes. So if you go to thestaceyharris.com/episode16, you will find links to my episode on her show and her show, as well as, you know, ways to get in touch with Sandy. So let us do my very favorite thing first, which is the amazing shout outs. I, of course, love shout outs. So let's jump right in. This week's shout out is from Sarah, and it says, "Thanks, Stacey. Thank you for putting this great podcast out into the world. Anyone who uses social media should be listening. Stacey knows what's up." Thanks, Sarah. That's super nice. I love these shout outs. To do them and to read them, read the reviews, it's just so much fun. So be sure to get your shout out on a future show by going to iTunes and leaving a review. If you go to the show notes page, there's actually a link to do it. If you have any questions about how to do it, let me know. You can also leave reviews at Stitcher. So yeah, be sure to let me know, what you're enjoying and all of that. I am getting ready to, of course, I'm laying out all of my plans for 2014, including sort of my editorial calendar of what the show is going to have on it. So I'm always looking to answer your questions and feature guests who you guys want to hear from. So let me dive in and read Sandy's bio for you. Sandy Sadoo is a digital strategist, speaker, idea igniter, and founder of Sidekick PM. She combines her tech and online marketing skills to create money-making buzz for her clients, whether it's launching your brilliant new offering for maximum impact or taking you to the next level. She is your wingwoman. All right, let's dive in with the interview. All right, everybody. I am joined by Sandy now, live. I'm super excited to have her here. You guys heard me give her bio, but you also know I'd love to have the guests introduce themselves. So, Sandy, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey.
And could you tell us a little bit about you?
Will do. So I like to call myself a digital strategist and idea igniter. So I help entrepreneurs navigate the ever-changing online space and kind of ignite their ideas when they just need a little push sometimes.
I like that. In the interest of getting clear, I want to say that you are also one of the co-founders of Thrive Hive.
Yes, that is correct.
Which, as you all know, is a popular topic here at Hit the Mic with Stacey Harris. I think to this day, one of my most popular interviews is still episode 2 of with Jules Taggart, who is your partner in crime at Thrive Hive.
Yes, she is.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Thrive Hive because I'm obsessed with it. and I really want to encourage people to find out more because Thrive Hive is super awesome, although Thrive Hive is super awesome, but I want to talk about using a community like Thrive Hive to help you grow your business. So when did you get started in business, like as an entrepreneur?
It's almost going to be, what year are we? So it's going to be close to 2 years it's going to be 2 years in March of 2014.
Very cool. And Thrive Hive now is about a year old, right?
Thrive Hive will celebrate its first birthday around the time I believe this interview goes live.
I think so. I think it was like the beginning of 2013 that it exactly. Like went big to everybody.
Yeah, we sort of soft launched it at the end of 2012, and when we hit the ground running January 2013, it's like, oh yeah, Thrive Hive, it's been here since last year.
It's old news. So before creating Thrive Hive, did you have any sort of community like that where you you connected with other entrepreneurs, or were you sort of in that space where I think a lot of us go through after like leaving corporate or regular jobs, whatever they may be, and going to being an online entrepreneur or a solopreneur, of having that sort of like weird loneliness time?
So that's an interesting question, because while Thrive Hive itself and an online community is relatively new, communities have kind of always played a role in my life, both personal and professional. So I'm part of many sort of offline communities here in Montreal, which I have also started, and others that I haven't started. And when I did sort of start spending more time online, I realized, and, you know, working for myself, I realized that I wanted to connect with more people who are doing the same thing, because in my offline communities, there was a mix, but not always like entrepreneurial, mostly people who were in the corporate world, which is totally fine. So I found myself in different communities in part online and part of masterminds as well. But I kind of always noticed there was a similar vibe, whether it's like on LinkedIn or Facebook, that they end up kind of being like drive-by communities where people will come in, link drop, and then just leave. Like, there's never really any conversation, and you just kind of feel like everyone's there just to kind of push their own agenda, but not really connect with people.
And I think that is a really important distinction to make about a networking group and like a real community. You know, those networking groups are kind of those places where everybody goes like with their agenda and with their, you know, list of outcome goals. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do XYZ tonight. And I think communities are more of a place to gather and connect. And I know in my own experience with networking locally, as much as I love to do that, most of them, even if they are entrepreneurs, aren't online entrepreneurs. And I think there is a difference in the way, I mean, there's fundamental things that obviously stay the same. You're running a business, but there is a difference in the online space. So I really love connecting with people who also understand that space.
Absolutely. I totally hear you. And like you said, you're still running a business, but there are certain things that change when, you know, you're trying to do most of your business, let's say online, or you're trying to connect with people globally versus entirely locally if you're running a brick and mortar type business.
And I'm glad you said that, because there is a difference in that global aspect. You know, like you said, you're in Montreal. I'm in Phoenix. I have clients who live in Australia and the UK and all over the world. So it's really, I think it's an interesting perception that isn't thought of when you have a store that's, you know, you think about the neighborhood. You know, we don't really have to think about location.
Oh, exactly. And I think that's just the time we live in now, and more people are becoming aware of it, but they haven't necessarily fully embraced it. I know when I tell people still that, oh, you know, I work with people online, or I'm in these communities and now we're meeting in person at a retreat, they kind of just like, wait a second, so you met on Facebook and now you're meeting in real life? And I'm like, kind of, yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. But, you know, there's some context. We might have met in a course and we got funneled into a group and then we connected. But essentially, that's what's happening more and more. You know, people are connecting in these communities and making real strong connections, doing business together, and then decide that, hey, you know what, like, we need to meet in real life.
It's true. And I think you and I are kind of a prime example of that, because you and I met through Jules, who you met in the We Mastermind group, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't meet in person for like a year, right?
We first met in June of this year, but I want to say we were chatting online since like summer of 2012 or early fall.
Yeah, so you guys knew each other like 6 months to a year online only.
Exactly. And like, you know, with the Google Hangouts and the Skype, like all that makes it possible to get to know a person, and then when you meet them in real life, it's just like, oh, okay, this is how tall you are. I couldn't really tell when we were in front of our computers, right? But
it's true. I got to meet Jules in person a few months ago, and we talked about it a little bit on her interview on the show too. But it was hysterical because you and I had talked on Skype like I think a week before I saw Jules in person for the first time, and Jules and I have known each other online since we met through Bootstrap Book Club. And YFE. So I want to say it's been like probably a year, mm-hmm. right about a year. And I was like, wow, you are tall. And she's like, what? And I'm like, Sandy and I were talking about it. It's funny because, you know, but you really do build these relationships because and I'm sure it was the same for you, but when I met Jules in person, and I'm sure it'll be the same way when you and I meet in February at Thrive Hive Live in Miami, it's like there's no weirdness. There's no – it's like you're seeing somebody you've known for a long time.
Mm-hmm. It's actually better than just going to networking events where you're just starting the conversation for the first time and then, oh, maybe I'll see you next time. I find a lot of what we do, it's like – you know, we're kind of past that. And when we meet in real life, it's just like continuing on from where we left off and all those other online conversations and Twitter chats and Facebook messages that we've had.
Absolutely. And this is something I actually, when I speak at events, this is one of the things I talk about is sort of bridging the gap between your online and your offline networking. And it's so funny because I was talking at an event not too long ago, and I was talking about, you know, when you connect with people that are going to be attending the same event with you, online before the event happens, you get past that awkward, like, what's your name and what do you do part of the conversation, and you get to have, like, the fun part of the conversation. So it's so funny you bring that up, because that's, like, my favorite part of meeting people I've met online, is there's none of that weirdness. Like, yeah, we have to figure out what it is we're going to create small talk about. Like, there is no small talk. There is us just having a conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, I'm sure I'm talking to someone who loves the hashtag just as much as I do, because I feel like I hashtag stalk before I go to events. You know, if it's like World Domination Summit, you know, in my Hootsuite, I had a stream set up just so I could see who was tweeting about it, who was going that I might know, so that I didn't miss out on the opportunity of connecting with them in person, because we've probably tweeted with each other before. So why not, you know, take advantage of being in the same place and meeting in person?
I have so many hashtag streams for events or just chats I like to be a part of. I'm obsessed with the hashtags. I do love me some hashtags. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and we talked a little bit about this, you know, your sort of history of being a part of communities. What impact do you think having those communities in your life and in your business has had on your business versus sort of going it alone?
Oh, I mean, it's made all the difference in the sense that having people who are doing the same thing as you, not necessarily the same business, but who are kind of going through the same growing pains, learning curves, having some people to bounce those ideas off of. I mean, you can't put a number on that. You can't put a number on the relationships that you make. And, you know, ultimately, even the referrals that you get through that, because people get to know who you are beyond just, like we said, just going to network an event with your agenda. Here you are, you know, providing value, demonstrating your expertise. And I think going at it alone, because I did for a while, and I just felt like it was more isolated and alienating. And I as I was observing interactions online and seeing how all these other people who we consider these online superstars, I realized there had to be more to it, that they had connections and they weren't, you know, they were working with other people and collaborating in order to get this kind of visibility and reach people that way. So it kind of had that aha moment that, you know, being part of communities is going to be a way to help me grow.
And I love that you said that when you look at the sort of the people that are at the levels above you, the levels you aspire to be, and you sort of, I think you see it more now, there's more transparency, but if you really look at it, and this is not something I looked at when I first started following these people, but you see that they are all connected. You know, you have Danielle Laporte and Marie Forleo and Gabby Bernstein, and they are, you know, they're constantly talking sort of about each other and things they're doing together and masterminding together. And then you've also got people like James Wedmore and Amy Porterfield and John Lee Dumas, who are the same way. They're on each other's shows. They promote each other's products and courses and whatnot. They're in these sort of, not bubbles per se, but they're all linked together and supporting each other. Businesses. And I think that that's something that a group like Thrive Hive or YFE or things like that, where you get to really connect and get to know other people in your space that are at your level, so, you know, maybe a little above you, maybe a little below you, all sort of that same circle, and really promote each other and share each other's stuff, I think that can be really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I mean, I don't have all the history background about, you know, the origins of community, but if you look in the offline world, that's what communities are about. Like they, you know, people refer business to people that they know, they tell, you know, whether it's your dentist or your doctor or, you know, the local food store, you kind of work with people and tell people about the things that you like and enjoy, and you surround yourself with other people like you. So I think we're just trying to mimic that online, but it's on a larger scale.
It's true. And it's funny. I'm going to get a little ranty for a minute, but I know you'll back me up on it, so we're safe. But it constantly amazes me on networks like LinkedIn where someone will connect with me and then send me a message saying, you know, these are the kind of customers I'm looking for. So if you have anybody to refer to me, let me know. Ugh. I don't know who you are. And especially, and it always especially cracks me up when they're web designers, because I know so many fantastic web designers that are like good friends of mine. And I'm like, person, I am not going to refer business. I don't know who you are. I've never seen your work. I don't know your name. You know, like outside of the fact that I'm reading it here on LinkedIn. Like, how do you think that that's a successful way to get referrals?
Yeah, and I mean, I mentioned something like that at a talk I had done in the summer, that people forget when they're online sort of how to interact or etiquette.
Like, how to behave.
Yeah, you would just never walk up to someone in person and shove their business card in their face and say, hey, look, this is what I do. You know, but that's the online equivalent, right? Mm-hmm. When you DM someone or when you just cold email someone, it's kind of the equivalent of just shoving your business card in their face and saying, hey, hire me or tell all your friends about me. It's like, who are you?
Yeah. And it's so funny because I think I said something like, I have a couple of blog posts on my site about the auto DM, because it's a question I get a lot. I'm sure it's a question you get a lot too. And I'm like, you would not just go and like shove your card in someone's pocket at a networking event. Why do you do that online?
Or especially when people say stuff like, hey, we connected on Twitter, now go like my Facebook page. And it's like, but I'm on Twitter. Talk to me here. You know, like, why are you just trying to get me to like your, like, you know, that whole mentality of like accumulating the likes, accumulating the follows, but not really knowing what to do with them or actually building relationships with those people.
It's definitely there's people who value the quantity and there's people that value the quality. Personally, I'm a quality person. Sure, I would love to have a really large quality community, but I will take 3 people who really, really care over 150 people who couldn't give a crap. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Definitely. And I mean, the people who are delivering quality content online and who have those larger communities, it didn't just happen overnight. You know, like they're not snake oil salesmen that have, you know, that you know who those people are, that mm-hmm. it's just kind of like you land on those websites and it's like, sign up and find out how to make like $1 million every month. And it's just like so grimy and the underbelly of the internet kind of thing. But the people who are delivering quality and who it's taken time, you know, they haven't done, you know, they had to win over those 3 people and that turned into 6 and 9. Like, I think it's just a matter of keeping at it and staying focused on who your target market is and what problem you're solving.
I agree. And somebody that comes to mind is somebody I probably haven't mentioned on the show before, but Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income. I mean, he actually has his income reports, you know, on his website. And he's like, this is how it started. Like, this is how it happened. This did not just happen yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. I invested time in this. And he is definitely a model that I think could be very, and is in a lot of cases, very much so that super slimy kind of thing where it's totally passive income. You know, make money online. You see those banner ads all over the place, even now, which I don't know how people are still clicking on them, but whatever. And then you see somebody like him who is just putting out quality information and he's being really transparent about it and saying, look, this did not happen yesterday. Marie Forleo is another really good example of that. She says it a lot, but I think she's been in business like 12 or 13 years. Like, mm-hmm. she did not become Marie Forleo as we know her now last week. You know what I mean? Oh, like, this took time.
For sure. And I think another thing is, you know, you have to go through like iterations and evolutions. Like, you're not going to become the person you want to be overnight or the business that you want to have overnight. Like, you know, you have to try different things. You may have different domain names, different websites. You might evolve, but I think too often people get stuck on that, that like they compare themselves to those people who've been at it for like 12, 13 years. And like, they're like, I want her website or I want to have her type of audience, but not realizing that it's like, well, you got to do the grunt work. You got to have the crappy YouTube videos before you have the super duper HD production, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and a great example of that is go watch Marie TV from 2 years ago. Like, go onto her YouTube channel. They're still there. They literally used to be her, like, up against a brick wall. Some of them, like, were in her apartment on her sofa, I think, when she first got started. Like, just holding her laptop, answering questions into a camera. They were not, like, the full-scale productions they are now.
Absolutely.
And I think that we all sort of forget that really easily. And bringing it back to community, you know, the way that happened is she's really cultivated a community around her business. And I think that's something that you've done really well also, is you've cultivated a community around your business and who you are, and people want to work with you because they like you, because mm-hmm. they want to talk to you. What advice would you sort of give somebody who is just starting out online? Maybe they got laid off or they're, you know, just done with corporate, whatever. And they want to sort of find a community of other entrepreneurs. Where would you point them to go? Would you point them to courses, or would you point them to something like Thrive Hive or LinkedIn, or what would you point them to?
I mean, courses are a good start. I mean, I think it really depends on what kind of like knowledge they're looking to get or what kind of resources they need. But I find courses or masterminds or whatever you want to call them. Like, I know you did B School. I did We Mastermind. Mm-hmm. I find those provide a good entry point because you're all kind of starting at the same point, whether or not you have a business, but you're all like going through the same modules and you get to know people at a more intimate level than you would if you just joined up any random community where people have kind of been in there at different times. And that way, you get to build those solid foundations and people will support you. You get to bounce off your ideas. I mean, if I look at all the people that I've met, Jules, I met through We Mastermind, Tenille, she was my accountability partner in We Mastermind. These are all people that I still, you know, call upon when I need help or I want to run ideas off of them. So I think starting with a course is definitely a good option. If not, a lot of people also recommend alumni groups on LinkedIn as a good place to start, because again, you have that connection of like, okay, I went to that school. Like, I think you need to have a starting point, whether it's an interest group or something that's going to make you connect with the other people.
I agree, and I like that you did say courses, because I think that also has the added benefit of you learning something. Like, especially with We Mastermind or B School, granted, we're not endorsing any of these things and saying that's what you have to do, but these are our experiences. For me, I mean, I did B School this year, in 2013, and I started my business in 2011. So I was further along than, you know, some of the people maybe in there, and there were people further along than I was even. But there is that added benefit of you get this really fabulous content and you get these really amazing people who are all very like-minded. Mm-hmm. So I think a course is a good place to start, because it is sort of a double whammy, especially if you're just starting your business, and because it is something that takes some information. Mm-hmm. And granted, all of it's Googleable. It's kind of nice to have it packaged and ready for you with a community of people to support you around it.
And not to mention the other added benefit when you do join one of those courses that has a community attached to it is sort of the microeconomy that comes out of that, because, again, you're building that know-like-trust factor with these other people. So when it comes to hiring that graphic designer, copywriter, or social media expert, you're going to turn to the people in your community.
Yep, that's very true. I mean, when I have a need, the first places I go are B School and Thrive Hive.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you know, if the need cannot be met there, but if I'm looking for something, I'm going to go to my immediate network for sure.
Absolutely. And going back to your point about, you know, someone who's laid off or thinking about transitioning out of a job, there was a book I read a few years ago. was it Chris Brogan and Julian Smith's book? I can't even remember the title, but it might have been in their book, where they talked about building your network before you need it. So I think a lot of people end up getting laid off and then going, oh man, now you see kind of all these connections coming through LinkedIn and they're like scrambling to connect with all these people. But I think that's something that you should be doing sort of all the time, like kind of keeping one eye open and seeing what else is out there and building those relationships before you actually need them.
I think that's a great point. And another previous episode of this show was with Nicole Longstreth, and we talked about building your brand. And I think, you know, I mentioned that you're a brand no matter what you do, whether you're an online entrepreneur or a brick and mortar entrepreneur or you're an employee somewhere, you're a brand, especially in this day and age. So I think that no matter what you're doing or who you are when you're listening to this podcast, building a network around you and your brand is critical no matter what. So I totally agree with that, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's easy to forget. And this is something I talk about with clients a lot, but you're sort of always networking. I don't care if you're like at the grocery store, you're networking because you're interacting with people. I think we undervalue. You never know who somebody knows. So don't discount any of the connections you have. You may think, oh, I have no network in this field or in this industry but you never know who's connected. So, you know, jump in and ask questions. You'll be amazed at who will be like, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so who's so-and-so's brother. Let me introduce you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, you said it best. Like, I mean, that's where the community comes in so well, I find, because, you know, yes, you can find this information online, but those types of questions, you're not going to find the same type of information if you Google search it. You know, having people who've kind of been through what you've been through and can kind of guide you along the way or save you some of that time wasted or, you know, you're getting stuck, that's when, you know, you have this community to turn to and say, hey, you know what do you think of this? Or I'm stuck on this, or I had this problem with my client, or I'm thinking of changing my business in this direction. Can I get your feedback? And, you know, depending on the size of your community, you might, you know, you'll get a lot of varying opinions.
And that's a great point. And also, you know, when you Google, you don't necessarily know who that information's coming from. When it's somebody who you talk to regularly, that information can feel a little more legit.
Right on.
For sure. All right. Well, I don't want to take any more of your time. So before we close it up, though, I do want to know how people can get in touch with you. Any new cool stuff that people like have to know about that you have coming up? Tell us everything.
For sure. So I can be found at sidekickpm.com. The coolest thing that I think coming up is our in-person mastermind retreat. So since we've been talking a lot about community and online communities, there's no better way to connect with people than offline as well. So we're having a retreat in February in Miami, and you can find all the information for that at thrivehivelive.com.
Yay, I'm so excited for Thrive Hive Live. I didn't get to go to the one in Palm Springs. I was very disappointed. So I'm so, so excited to go to Miami.
So am I, because even when you're listening to this podcast live, it's cold. It's already cold.
I will not tell you what the temperature is today.
I will not Google it.
You should not. You do not want to know.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Stacey. It's been a pleasure talking to you and sharing insights.
Yes, thank you for being on the show. I'm super excited. You guys can check out Sandy as Sandy's link information and the Thrive Hive Live information all at the show notes, which are at thestaceyharris.com. Thank you so much, Sandy, again for joining me on the show and creating the amazing Thrive Hive. I love it, as everybody knows. So it was super fun to get to chat with you, and I will see you in person for the first time in Miami.
Woohoo! Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's been another episode of Hit the Mic with Stacey Harris. I will see you guys next time.